praise the Lord.
Amen. I'm going to preach off that one. If you got your Bibles, let's open up to the book of Acts, chapter number 20. And you'll see why I feel like the Lord have us to preach right there. Acts chapter number 20. And I appreciate all the good testimonies, the good singing. And I'll tell you this. I feel impressed to say this. And I'll move on. Acts 20, you be finding that place. You find that you stand with us if you're able. And we'll give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. But I want to say this to you. I can sense, and there's folks that they'd like to say something, and they feel a stirring in their heart, but they just don't feel like they're worthy of it. And I want to go on record as saying this: you're saved by the grace of God. You're a fit candidate. Amen. Amen. And I want you to know that. Let's look in the book of Acts, chapter 20. And I'll read, I'm going to have a little bit of reading tonight, and you just bear with me through that, all right? Bible says in the Apostle Paul getting ready there to depart, and for the last time, I mean, this thing's wrapping up in his life, getting ready to lose what's probably the greatest Christian that has ever lived. Here's the Bible said, Apostle Paul in verse number 19, he said, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and the weight of the Jews. He said, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying, hath the bonds and afflictions abide me. Boy, I like verse 24 real good. He said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take unto you to record this day, I'm pure from the blood of all men. Notice particularly next two verses. He said, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Taking heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Heavenly Father, I bow my head before you tonight, and to God I'm thankful one more time to get to be in the house of God. Lord, I sure am glad for all the testimonies that God, you know, it always echoes in my heart. Psalms 124, if it had not been for the Lord. And to God, I'm glad that's the theme of our life. That's the theme of the church. As if it had not been for the Lord. I pray for a few moments of time. And Lord, let me just express thankfulness out of my heart. And God, for what we've already heard and felt. And I thank you, Lord, for the way you've been helping me. And God, I thank you for the Bible that I have. I thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost. And God, I look back. I don't have to look far. And that God, that if it wasn't for the grace and the mercy of God, oh Lord, I'd sure be in trouble tonight. But God, I get to stand right where I stand at. And to God, no doubt in my mind, absolutely unworthy apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. But I sure am glad Christ came, Lord, and saved my soul and has made me worthy. I pray, help me to preach one more time. And if this is the last time, I pray, help it to be the best time. Oh, Lord, I love you. I thank you. In Christ's name, I humbly beg and ask. Amen and amen. I've been preaching for some time on through the book of Acts on everything that the church is supposed to be. How the church is sure to spread, it's sure to be sanctified, it's sure to be strengthened to settle, it's sure to be a supplicating place. I mean, the church is a special place. I may go on record of saying that. I thank God there's things you can get at the house of God that you cannot get anywhere else. You can't get it off a CD. You can't get it off Facebook Live. Thank God you got to be here. Amen. I say thank God for it. But we've wrapped this whole thing up. And this is the last message the Lord had given to me and dealt with me in my heart. And what you find here is the Apostle Paul is about to depart from the church. He's about to go on to that. Thank God, eternal reward. And now you understand everything we're reading about. And they're all places that the Apostle Paul, and God has used him to start. But I got good news for you, friend. They are not built on the Apostle Paul. Amen. And the Apostle Paul's getting ready to die. And thank God as he's getting ready to die, and no doubt these folks are worried about it. But listen, friend, I'm glad there's somebody greater than Paul that's got a hold of the church. Amen. And so thank God, listen, I don't mean to discourage nobody, but there's going to come a time that everybody in this church is going to depart one way or another. And to look here, and if God, by his good grace, sees fit to let the church go on another 80 years or so, thank God we'll be gone, most of us. But guess what? The church will still be doing just fine. Amen. You say, preacher, you believe that? With all that I am, amen. I'm preach on this subject tonight. And the office of the Cali said,
And thank God the title of the message is God Shall Supply Everything the Church Needs. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to look nowhere else. I'm glad, thank God, I don't have to try to find nowhere else. I've never had to go to a country club how to find something that satisfies my soul. And they ain't never done nothing at the Cotton Eye Joe how that stirs my heart up. I've never had to sit at a bar and to try to get a drink from that fountain. I'm saying this, thank God. And those that are saved by the good grace of God, you'll find what you need at the church. Amen. Hey, listen, thank God. If you don't find it for here, from here, it ain't no count. Amen. Oh, yes, neighbor. I'll give you a few things. And just I'm going to pick out some things the Apostle Paul, he's getting ready to leave. And as he's getting ready to leave in those two verses, and these four things, thank God, and that the church is going to have supplied by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice the first two. At verse 27, he said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." I've got good news. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as there is a church, he'll supply the scripture. Amen. I mean, thank God, listen to me, friend. I know all our preachers know it, but I'm hoping God might call some of our other young men. And to look here, friend, and as God does it, let me just help you. You ain't got to get a message off Sermon Central. You ain't got to find one off Google. Amen. You don't have to get on Yahoo.com. You don't have to rip one off of YouTube. I'll tell you what you do if you want to get a word from God. You go somewhere in a prayer closet and shut the door, thank God, and say, "God, what do they need?" And just trust God to deliver. Amen. I'll tell you what you'll find out. God will do it every time. Amen. And the Bible said, the Apostle Paul, he said, "I have not." He said, "I've not should." But he said, "I gave you the whole counsel of God." Hey, listen, I'll tell you this. Hey, a lot of preachers, Brother Keith, hey, could read that verse and take something from it in our day. Amen. Hey, listen to me. I want you to hear me. In our day, we like the popular parts. Hey, don't care too much about the unpopular. Hey, listen, look here, friend. Hey, now, he's talking to the church at Ephesus here. And so I'll take some things he said from them. I like that part. I like that popular verse of Ephesians 2:8. "For by grace are you saved, and through faith, that not of yourselves, that's the gift of God." Boy, I like that. Amen. I like to hear that in preach. Amen. But boy, that next verse, we don't hear a lot of preaching on that, thank God. "For ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto a good work, which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them." Amen. We like a popular side. We don't care too much about that unpopular side. And now listen, friend, if you're saved by the good grace of God, that God has ordained that you'd walk in good works. Amen. That's the truth, thank God. We like that beautiful part. Look here, friend, in the book of Ephesians, when he goes through and he says, "To know the depths and the riches, the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ." Boy, that's beautiful, Sean. I like that real good. But when he gets over there and he says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church." And when he says, "Hold down there, children, obey your parents." For this is right. When's the last time you heard a good message on that? Amen. Thank God. All the kids said, "Amen, amen." I'm saying this, dear friend. That other part on down there. And it says it's servants how to be in subjection to their masters. Boy, we don't hear too much about putting in a good day's work, do we? Amen. I see that beautiful part. We like that. Amen. But there's a whole nother side. Thank God it needs to be preached. He's a popular side. He's an unpopular side. He's a beautiful side. He's an ugly side. He's a happy side. Amen. Boy, I like happy messages. Don't you like happy ones? Now look here, I know everybody thinks I have Brother Kevin, he's sour all the time. That's simply not the case. Amen. I come in here and I long. I like to, every time I step foot in the pulpit, just to point up and shout her out and preach on the four hallelujahs of heaven and us all go home happy. But thank God, listen, the only way we can be happy is as if we first get holy, amen. And so holiness brings happiness. And so Brother Kevin, instead of preaching on the four hallelujahs of heaven, I got to turn to the seven woes of Isaiah and say, thank God, listen, if we don't do right, a woe unto us, amen. Amen. Thank God. I think that's right. How the Apostle Paul got to stand up and to look here, friend. I'd like to preach some of the messages he preached. And then these other ones, you've heard me say it. I mean, look here, friend, you understand. No doubt it made him real popular amongst everybody whenever the Apostle Paul would stand up and he'd give everybody assurance. But then in other places he'd stand up and he'd say, probably most of you's lost, amen. Yes, thank God. I like the comfortable parts. I like the comfortable parts of Scripture. But now if you're going to preach the whole counsel, we're going to have to deal with everything. Look here, let me just read this to you. I just got thinking about this in the book of Ephesians there, chapter number 5. I thought about how comfortable this is and how it makes us happy. He said in verse number 2, walk in love, even as Christ loved us, hath given himself for us. He said an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Boy, ain't that comfortable, amen. But look at that next verse, amen. He said, but fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Amen. That makes you a little uncomfortable. We like it, thank God. I mean, folks like it usually whenever I preach on broad generalities. But listen, I'll tell you, I've noticed this, and it happens more and more all the time. And whenever Brother Kevin starts preaching about how to dress, or about buying lottery tickets, or about social drinking, or any of those things, all of a sudden it gets uncomfortable, amen. And I'm not real sure why. And just to be real honest with you, I feel like that it ought to be comfortable. I feel like I ought to be able to stand up and preach on the King James Bible, and everybody in the church say, amen, amen, amen. But oh, listen, friend, that's turning to where that's a little uncomfortable. Not uncomfortable for me, amen. Makes me happy, thank God. I was happy when I came in. I'll be happy when I'm leaving. I'm happy right now, amen. I'm simply saying this, and God supplied all of it, amen. Hey, so feller said it like this one time. He was talking to me about preaching the Scripture. He said, I always want to preach on what God leads me to. And I notice every time he's a preacher, that's always something real happy. I thought, you mean God ain't never one time had led you over there in the book of Habakkuk or Malachi? He ain't never led you no place where judgment's at or where Zechariah is. Not one time, amen. Come on, you got to be kidding me, thank God. I'm saying this, friend, listen. When we come in the house of God, I'd like to run the aisles every time, Brother Waters. I like jumping pews. I like running aisles. I like shouting around. But thank God, sometimes we just got to get down into doctrine and preach what the doctrine is, so that whenever false doctrine comes in, everybody knows what it is. Amen. Hey, say, look here. Hey, listen, my old pastor Roger Cecil, he used to say it like this. Hey, as a fella got up one time and he said a bunch of nonsense, and after he said a bunch of nonsense, you know, I'm a little fiery sometimes, and I thought, I wish he'd have set him down. I said, Brother Roger, why didn't you set him down? He said, Kevin, if I've been the pastor of this church for 36 years and these people don't a bit more know that that was wrong than anything, he said, that man's not the problem, I am, amen. And boy, I've got to thinking about that. I mean, I'd hate to think somebody come in here and say a bunch of nonsense, and everybody in here, I'll tell you, listen, and I don't necessarily like it, but there's been sometimes that there's been folks in here that has said nonsense, and you know what happens when they do. I can feel about 100 people that's staring at the back of my head. That's a sitting there thinking, where in the world did this guy come from? Well, look at me, friend. If I knew he was going to say nonsense, he wouldn't have got to say something, amen. I was surprised as you was, amen. Thank God. But oh, listen, I want to go on record as saying this. And the fact that you stare at the back of my head and that everybody gets uncomfortable, hey, you ought to stop and thank God about that. That, you know, what was said was ignorance and nonsense. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That made me happy right there. And so the first thing he does is he will supply us with scripture. But now look at me, friend. He supplied it. Anybody in here don't have a Bible? Let me go on record. I've been thinking about this. And it'll probably make some folks uncomfortable, but I done said something. That probably will. Look here, friend. Anybody in here not got a Bible? I mean, you don't got one. I'll tell you what. Now listen, I'm not trying to embarrass nobody. I want you to raise your hand about it. If you don't have a Bible, when you pass by my hand tonight and you shake my head, you say, "Preacher, I don't have a Bible." And we'll make sure you get one, all right? And now look here, friend. If you showed up to church tonight and in your hands anything other than a King James Bible, I'll tell you what you do. I'm not going to look here. I'm not even judging you. I'm not going to say nothing to you. You just come right by where I'm at and you say, "Preacher, I've got something else." I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take that one from you and I'll give you a good King James Bible. Amen. And I'll never be a word said. Matter of fact, you go ahead and post this wherever you want to. It's a free trade program. Whoever wants to bring in some false translation, I'll give every one of them a King James Bible. Amen. That church will help us. Don't you think that's right? Amen. I'm going to say this. I thank God. God will supply the scripture. But it's your responsibility to heed to it. Amen. That's not on Kevin. Thank God I can stand up here. I can preach about dressing right, and tomorrow you can still dress wrong. Amen. I can preach about how y'all not cheat on your spouse, and tomorrow you can still cheat on your spouse. But look at me, friend. I'm not responsible for whether you heed the Bible. I'm only responsible for me preaching the Bible. Amen. Amen. Thank God. And so the first thing he says, scripture supply. But then I want you to notice next. He said, "Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock." I'll say the second thing. As long as there's a church that'll be supplied, God will supply the scripture and God will supply the shepherds. Amen. He'll always do it. Thank God. And now look up here, friend, at me. I want y'all to get this. I've been thinking about this, Brother Matt, and probably somebody's be out pastoring sometime. And you know, you'll say, "Well, I do pretty good considering I had to sit under that old ignorant backwoods preacher." Amen. But I've become a mighty long way. But here's best I can tell, Brother Bill, what my responsibility is. I've got five of them because I like the number of grace. Amen. I want y'all to listen to me. You know what my first responsibility is? It's to provide good grazing ground for the sheep. Amen. And now listen to me. I want y'all to hear me. Here's what folks say usually when they leave a church. They'll say, "You know, I wasn't getting fed down there." Amen. Amen. And thank God, listen. There's been some folks come to me and that they've had mighty good preachers. And they said, "You know, I wasn't getting fed down there." Well, I want to go on record as saying this. And now thank God I put out feed in this church at least three times a week. Amen. I've got Sunday school teachers. They put it out at 10 o'clock. If you miss breakfast, that's on you, not them. Amen. I thank God if come 11 o'clock, I throw out some feed. Amen. Not always what you want, but it'll keep you alive. Amen. I thank God Wednesday night, Sunday night, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And thank God, listen, everybody tune in right here. I want to say this to you. If you leave this church and you say, "I'm leaving this church because I'm not being fed," it's because you ain't willing to eat. Amen. Thank God. Amen. 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 Double amen right there. Amen. Hey, you say, "Preacher, I want something a little deeper." Well, I'll tell you what you do. Now listen to me. I'm trying to help you, all right? Hey, you say, "Preacher, I'd like to have something a little deeper." Well, there's one or two things you can do. You can walk out of the church and talk about me real bad and say, "Why, he's always on them same thing. Always preaching about ball and preaching about how folks dress and always preach about the King James Bible." And listen, I got bad news for you. If you come back Sunday, you know what you're going to hear? A whole lot more of the same. Amen. And if 40 years from now, I hope to be one of them preachers, Julie, hey, come back and they say, "40 years later, still preaching on the same things." Amen. I hope to God, if you find me and I'm 95, I still stand in the pulpit preaching the same thing. Amen. Amen. Thank God, listen to me. I'm simply saying this. Yeah. If you can walk out of here and talk about it, or if you get tired of that, I'll tell you what you'll do. Or go home, get in your prayer closet and say, God, would you give him something else? And amen, thank God. And whenever it don't happen, you know what you ought to get to do it. I've said, God, you ain't changed it yet. Let me start fasting over it and see if you won't give him something else if I start fasting. I've got good confidence in God. Have one or two things will happen, Clark. Either God will give me something else or God will make it to where you start liking it. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Amen. And what I found out, it's usually not the preaching. How about when my heart's right, I usually enjoy about any kind as long as it's in the book. Amen. When my heart's wrong, I never have enjoyed much preaching. Amen. And look here, friend, you ain't neither. Amen. And that's right. And so my first responsibility is to make sure you got a place to graze. And my second responsibility as the pastor of this church, I'm no matter right here where we stand at. I start thinking about all these. I mean, I got about 100 of them. You just have to be with me. My second responsibility is to guide you. Amen. And now listen, it's not to drive you. It's not to lord over you. I'm not, look here. I've got a pastor friend of mine, and why in the world he knows all this is beyond me. And whenever his people buy a car, they call him up. Hey, say, preacher, you reckon we ought to buy the car? Look up here at me, neighbor. Don't call me for that nonsense, all right? I'm not interested in that. I'm not caring about your finances. I'm not lording over God's heritage. I've got entirely too many things I'd to be dealing with and then to worry about stuff like that. Amen. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in being that involved. I'm interested in guiding you through the Bible and trusting that you are going to follow it. Amen. Here's what I found out. I can stand over you dusting all day. And I mean, just breathe down your neck and say, why ain't you doing this? And why ain't you doing that? And why ain't you got a heart for this? And what about your study time? And what about your prayer time? And what? And you know what? Not going to do him not one stitch of good. Amen. Everything he's going to do it because I'm lording over him. But God has never, not one time, put a shepherd in a pulpit to lord over his people. Amen. If you call me and you want me to pray about something, you better have asked him first. Let me run that by you again. Some of you didn't get that. You call me and say, Brother Kevin, help me pray about it. You better have already talked to God about it first. I'm not the Pope. I'm not a go-between. I don't want to be. I know there's men and they glory in that. They want all the attention. I am a reluctant leader. I'm not interested in that. You know what I figured out? Now look here. Now I know some of y'all that you think there ain't nothing to this, but the Bible teaches me in the book of Hebrews, obey them that have rule over you. Submit yourselves to them as they watch for your souls, as one that must give an account. You understand there's going to come a day I got to stand before God. And look here, friend. A lot easier to stand over God for two or three. One, I'd like to stand over for my family. But I got to stand over for you. My responsibility is to God, and your responsibility is to follow. Y'all think that's right? Is that right or not right? Amen. So as long as what I say is in the book, comes from the Bible, comes from this book right here. The only response ought to be amen, let's do it. Do y'all think that's right? I preach against a lot of things, and I know they look here. You remember when I preached against prom one time and everybody got real happy about that? Some of y'all remember that. Some of y'all said, please don't hit that one again tonight. But everybody in here knows it's right. Now, I'm not responsible for whether you follow, but I want you to listen to me, and I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm being as honest with you as I can. Don't call me your pastor if you're not willing to follow.
Amen. Exactly right.
You might say that. You might say Brother Kevin is my preacher. You might say he's the pastor of Amazing Grace Baptist Church. But every person that God put me to shepherd over is willing to follow.
Amen.
If you ain't willing to follow, you might not be the shepherd. You might not be a sheep in this flock. Is that right or not right? Well, this thing's going south in a hurry, ain't it? Amen. He put me here to guide.
Amen.
To guide. He put me here, and these folks, and they don't, okay, they say, well, what's wrong with drums? And what's wrong with electric guitars? Well, listen, if you pastor church, you do whatever you want to.
Yeah, right.
As long as I'm pastoring church, we ain't going to do it.
Amen.
Amen.
I feel like that's real simple.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't like that. Well, you don't have to go to church here. I don't say that ugly. I'm not trying to be ugly. But I'm saying this. There's not a chance in this world I'd keep going back to a place that I hated Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. I'd just find me a place and I'd say, well, I'm just going to go on down the road. Unless that might be, look here, friend. If you can't get behind what our church believes and you can't follow the pastor, that might be something you ought to pray about. We don't hear too many messages like that, do we? But it's right. It's right. And I mean that. Listen to me. I want you to be happy in the Lord. Happy in the Lord. If you say, I can't get behind Brother Kevin, there's probably a church out there that you can get behind him. Well, I sit on the pew here and be miserable when you go get behind somebody and run well. I want you to run well. I won't even talk about it. I'll be for you. But my responsibility is to guide. It's to graze. My responsibility is to guard. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some of you that think I don't do nothing besides get up, and sometimes you just go hang out with me for a day. I have about half the conversations I have in a day. No, we don't do that. We don't talk in tongues. We don't sing contemporary music. No, you can't read out of an NIV. I still love you. You can't do that in our church. I have 400 conversations like that all the time. And listen, as long as God helps me be in my right mind, the answer will be the same. If I ever tell my boys no the first time, Lisa, they come back to me and ask me an hour later, you know what the answer still is? It's no, thank God. A year from now, you know what it'll still be? It'll still be no. Amen. I hope God will help us to just guard what we've got.
Amen.
Don't you think that's right? You say, well, if I let in a few things, it won't hurt nothing. Well, it might not. But you might open up the door to a bunch of demons.
Amen.
All right. Well, I didn't mean to hurt everybody. Listen, you know what else my responsibility is? Nobody likes this neither. My responsibility is to groom the sheep. I won't get on to the happy part, but this is the uncomfortable part. Now, I grew up sometimes, and I knew folks that if they wasn't cutting, they wasn't preaching. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They only knew one thing, and it was to beat everybody, and everybody left bloody every service. I wish some of y'all would smile at me on that one. And you know what? We kept going back anyway. We loved the Lord. We wanted to. But now, best I can tell, a pastor feeds the sheep every single day. You go look it up sometime. It says that sheep typically are groomed once a year. Once a year. But once a year, it probably ought to get real close that everybody leaves just a little lighter than what they came in. Don't you think that's right? In love. Now listen, look here, friend. If y'all really think that I ever enjoy anything like that, then you don't know me at all. You don't know me. But listen, I've got a lot of faults, but I'll tell you this. I don't enjoy standing in a pulpit and beating on nobody. I don't enjoy sharing on nobody. I don't enjoy standing up sometimes, Brother Wayne, saying, now listen, this is the house of God. We don't need to have 4,500 bathroom trips during preaching. Nobody enjoys that, Brother Joshua. I want to have to stand up and be like, it's altar call time. This ain't getting pocketbook ready time and this ain't starting your cars and warming it up time. This is serious trying to do business with God time. Then everybody gets mad. You know what happens? Everybody gets mad and they go home and they talk and the preacher goes home and he stays up all night. Said, I probably hurt somebody and that was not my intention. My responsibility is to groom though. It's to groom. It's to say we're going to have to cut some of this stuff out if we're going to have God. Don't y'all think that's right? There's five of us that's still with me right here and that's all I need. I'm just telling you, I'm honest with you. My next thing, I'm going to read this. Ezekiel chapter number 34, my responsibility is to gather. There's a lot of pastors ought to go to Ezekiel 34, maybe just read just a little bit. It'd probably help them. He said, the diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost. I'd say that's all of my responsibility. You come in here and you're sick, my responsibility is to do what I can to Look at me, friend. To get Christians that are weak back to being strong. My responsibility in the house of God is for those that used to be here that have been driven away is to go after them. Don't y'all think that's right? Those that are bound down. I was talking with one fellow the other day, and listen, I was talking, having a conversation with him. He came out, and I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, I was in there practicing tying a tie. He said, I've been wanting to come to church. I said, "Okay." I said, "I'd love to have you." And he said, "I know that." And he said, "But now, Brother Kevin, I got to be honest with you." He said, "I've been drinking pretty heavy." And I said, "I still love to have you." And he said, "Well, you don't understand." He said, "I'm in a pretty rough spot." I said, "Not only would I love to have you," I said, "I'll tell you what I'd really like for you to do. When you come, I want you to sit right next to me. Sit up front. Just let the church love on you." Y'all think that's right or not right? I'll tell you this, they ain't going to get help at the bar. They come in here. You say, "Well, I know, listen, there's a time. There's a fella that I go after all the time. And I can't tell you how many people's told me, I wish you wouldn't even fool with him." And you know what? The truth of the matter is, there's times I wish I didn't fool with him. But it's in my heart to say, "What if that was you? Doug, what if it was you?" Listen, I'm going to tell this while Doug's sitting there, and he won't get mad at me. But whenever Huey Hines was alive, Huey went down to Doug's house one day when he had little boys, and he said, "Hey, don't you reckon you are bringing them boys up in the house of God?" And you know what happened? Well, he's sitting there, ain't he? You reckon Brother Huey was trying to be ugly when he done that? No. Listen to me, and I can't tell you this enough. There ain't nobody that's in here tonight or ever has come through these pews, Brother Kyle, that I'm against. I want them all to do right. I want them to do right. And I think we ought to gather those up that's doing wrong. All right, well, listen. I didn't mean to kill the meeting on that, but I'm going to give you this right here anyhow. He gave us a scripture. He gave us shepherds. He also gave us sheep. That's you guys. Long as there's a church, there'll be sheep. And listen, here's the good news. He even tells us how you ought to deal with each other. Says so. Tell what he says. Says so in the book of Ephesians. Be ye kind. Amen. One another. Tenderhearted. Uh-oh, what's that next part? Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. Yeah. Same book of Ephesians, it says forbearing one another. Yes, that means this. That means that ought to be patient. Yep. That means, look here, Weston, that means sometimes maybe I see something that's not just right. I don't come around. Say, "Son, have you lost your mind?" I mean, I do say that to you a lot. But when it comes to his walk with the Lord, I got to stand up. I got to remember that he's 15. He's 15, Mama. And he's been on this road for 7 years. And I'm 43. And I've been on this road for 36 years. And whenever I was his age, now listen, y'all listen to me real good. I want everybody to listen to me real good. This one right here is 100 times what I was when I was his age. He's so far ahead of me. In that area, it's not even funny. Why in the world, Brother Kyle, don't you reckon I ought to be patient with him? I mean, I ought to give him grace to grow. Stephen, stand up. Look here, friend. You listen. Praise the Lord. I'm preaching. I'm trying to mind the Lord. You stay with me. But Stephen, I can't expect Stephen to be where some of y'all's at. Brother Cliff, if we expect Stephen to understand what you understand, it's not even fair to him. Well, sometimes Stephen does things and you think, and I'm not even saying he does, but if he does something, you say, "Man, that's just not hardly what we would do." You know what we ought to do, Cameron? We ought to just forbear with him. Just gently come around and say, "Brother, it's It's not really what we do, and this is why. I'm trying to hurt you. I just want to help you. Y'all listen to me real good right here, because I feel like this is one of the things that's missing in our churches today. Somebody gets right with God, and then all of a sudden they expect everybody to be as right with God as they are. Y'all been saved for 70 years. You won't give nobody grace, been saved for 7 minutes. So folks like, Brother Kevin, you're going to have to do something about that. Praise God, let the Holy Ghost do it. Amen. Amen. That feller got saved the other day. Ron Tapley got saved. He had hair right to here. Right to there. Now he said, Brother Kevin, somebody's going to have to talk to him about his hair. Obviously. I said, if I was you, I think I'd let the same one talk to him about his soul. Yeah. Talk to him about his hair.
Oh, yeah.
And about a week later, you know what I got, Brother Jones? I got a picture. His hair was as short as Josh's. What I got, Mama? He said, do I look different? You know who done that?
Yeah.
Now, listen, look here. I'm trying to be real sensitive, and I want to mind the Lord. I want you to listen to me. You start putting your hands on somebody whenever God's doing the work, you'll drive them out instead of bring them in.
Yeah.
I'm for standards. I'll preach the truth every time, but I'm going to tell you this, and you listen real good. You better let God do the work. Let God do the work. Guarantee it. Amen. That's triple guarantees right there. Last thing, I'm done. I want you to see this. We're going to find there's sheep. We're going to find that there's a shepherd. We're going to find that there's a scripture. And then he said this, over the which the Holy Ghost. You know what will always be supplied as long as there's a God-fearing church? There will be the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to listen to me. The Spirit of God's not actively working in every church. You know why? He says so in the book of Ephesians. Right? Grieve not the Spirit, for by you're sealed to the day of redemption. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit, despise not prophecy. Right? Now listen, really three things you can do to hinder the Holy Ghost from working in this church. I'm talking about everybody, look at me, everybody in this room has got a responsibility and I'm done preaching. Everybody in this room got responsibility. Three things you can do to mess up the Holy Ghost working in this place. Number one, you can quench him. That's when God says do something and you say, no. Second thing is to grieve him. That's when God says don't do that and you say, I believe I will. Third thing is you can resist him. Acts chapter number 7. Holy Ghost gets a deal in your heart, and instead of you just melting under what he's trying to do, you stiffen your neck and you harden your heart and you say, I'm not doing that. Now listen, that don't just affect you, it affects everybody here. I've cleared my heart. I've given you what I felt like the Lord wanted me. As long as there's a church, see, some things God will supply. The scriptures, but you'll have to heed to them. The shepherd, but you'll have to hear him. Other sheep, but you'll have to be willing to help them. The Spirit of God, but you'll have to be willing to honor him. And if we ever get to the place where we're no longer honoring the Spirit, helping other sheep, hearing the shepherd, or heeding to the scripture, it's no longer a Bible-believing church. I don't care what's on the doors. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Crystal, come play something.